couldn't catch my breath. It was getting shallower and shallower, and I can remember saying to myself, I am dying.
And then his blood pressure dropped.
And I looked at the doctor and I said, what's wrong with him?
His heart stopped.
And he says, well, we need to intubate your husband right now, or else he could die.
And then we start doing the chest compressions.
Dean Braxton's system was shutting down. It started as a routine procedure to remove a kidney stone. Now he was dying. Dr. Manuel Irigui was on duty in the critical care unit at St. Francis Hospital in Federal Way, Washington. He explains what went wrong.
As it turns out with him, the antibiotic that he received was not good for the bacteria. It was resistant.
Dean's body went into multi-organ failure, and his heart flatlined. Dr. Irigui's team worked furiously to revive him. Dean's wife, Marilyn, prayed.
I did say to the Lord, I said, Lord, you said in your word that you've come to give Dean life and life abundantly. And I claim that abundant life for him.
At times, the unit was in chaos as they worked to save Dean's life. But he was experiencing something very different.
I wasn't afraid. It was like, I'm going home.
Dean believes he went to heaven.
When I first entered in, it was just bright. It wasn't so much what I saw as much as what I experienced. The first thing I perceived was, everything is right. There's nothing wrong here. And I said, it's past peace. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that says, peace past understanding. That's what's going on there. It's landscape, but more, because everything's alive. Nothing's dead. I don't mean just live like grass. I mean, it's intelligent. It can move. You know, it thinks. And someone says, well, that's way out there. It was way out there for me. You know, I'll tell you the truth.
Dean says he felt like he was being pulled back into his body. Then he flatlined a second time. Again, he was in heaven. This time, he saw Jesus.
The first thing that comes to me is he's bright, just like John says. He's brighter than the noonday sun. And the next phrase I say, I wish people could grab it. And it's this one. And we could look at him. And what you're looking at is not so much the physical part of it. You're really experiencing the love he has for you. And I tell people it's like he only loves you and no one else. I saw him communicating to angels. He would just look at them. Communication there was thought to thought. They would acknowledge his receiving his information, bow before him like this, and then back out. And it was like, wow.
Dean admits he didn't want to come back.
And I don't tell you the truth. I was happy. I was planning on staying, you know. And people always say, yeah, you know, didn't you love your wife and your children? Yes, I loved them probably more than I ever could. But I was thinking, you come here. You come here where everything is right.
Then Dean saw family he hadn't seen in a long time.
And yet, on the other side of Jesus was my family, my grandmother Mary, but with her were other relatives. And some I had recognized. I had been on this planet when they were here. But then there was generation after generation after generation after generation of those that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that helped to produce me on this planet. They came to greet me in. And it was like, God.
While Dean was in heaven, Marilyn continued asking God for a miracle.
I purposed in my heart that whatever the outcome, I was going to follow God all the way.
After an hour and 45 minutes, Dean came back with a weak but steady heart rate. But the bacteria had done a lot of damage, and he had to go on dialysis.
I did not think he was going to survive. In a way, I told his wife that, you know, now we have just to pray and wait, because there is nothing else I can do.
I believe in healing. I believe that God is a healer. And I was trusting God for Dean's healing.
3 days later, Dean woke up.
He was so eager. We got to get people saved. We got to let people know about Jesus.
Despite doctors' concerns that Dean's prolonged ordeal would leave him impaired or even worse, there are no signs that Dean even had a brush with death. He's the picture of health. In fact, the staff at St. Francis Hospital dubbed him the Miracle Man.
It's a miracle that he's alive. There's no question about it. It is a miracle. Yeah, he's alive, that he's talking, that he has no brain damage. But this is very exceptional, because he was really, really dead for a long time.
So what does a man do who's experienced heaven and still wants to be there? Dean says Jesus told him something that keeps his feet firmly planted.
I felt like he was saying, I need you there more than I need you here. And I came to understand then how important it was for me to complete what God had put me on this planet to do. The bottom line is, until I'm finished here, you know, and I cannot go back home. I tell people most of the time, I'm on my way home. Don't get me wrong, I'm on my way home. This is the pathway. My Father says I have to go to get home.
Everybody say hi to Dean Braxton.
Hello.
So, you have lived in Pierce County for how long?
Well, we've lived in probably Pierce County for about 3 or 4 years, but we've lived in the Puget Sound area. We're just in Federal Way, is just over the border. So, 27 years we've been here in this area.
Northwest.
So, yes.
And I believe you told me you met Jesus of Nazareth when you were 17.
Yeah, 17 years of age. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I say between March 3rd of 1975 and the 28th. The day I cannot really tell you. I was in a situation of physical pain, and I just remember one time reading the Bible, and as I was reading the Bible, they came to that scripture and said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Mm-hmm. And I just remember saying to the Lord, if this is true, I want this.
Yeah. Now, we're starting this series on heaven, and we have been coordinating. Maybe you can see this. We've been coordinating with Time Magazine, so they ran a cover story on heaven for us.
Well, that's good.
That's how powerful we are. It says, Rethinking Heaven. Some people, 85% of Americans believe in something after life. 15% don't, and according to Gallup. And it says in this magazine that there are even Jesus people that don't believe in heaven.
Wow.
Or don't believe that it's a different place. Maybe God will just change, tweak the earth or whatever. You claim to have been to heaven.
Right.
Tell me about, first of all, how did you die? How long were you dead?
Well, according to the medical records, because we have those, they said that my heart stopped for about an hour and 45 minutes.
An hour and 45 minutes.
Okay. So it's not something I'm just telling you, it sounds good. The reality of it is we have documentation that says that my heart stopped for about an hour and 45 minutes. We also have the doctors, or the doctor that was there, that said that it happened for about almost 2 hours. But we go by the medical records, which say about an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, I have a video in my office.
Correct.
Of the physician that was at the hospital. What hospital was it?
Well, it happened at Federal Way here in St. Francis. But I was there when it happened, but then they moved me over to Tacoma General.
Okay. And so this is well documented.
Yes, very well documented.
And normally people who are dead that long have brain damage. Let me ask your wife, Marilyn, does he have brain damage? Okay. Yeah, only when it comes to taking out the trash. Thank you for clarifying that, Marilyn.
Well, there's no trash in heaven, so I...
So you did...
I left...
You never got a chance to practice
it. No, that's right.
What would you? I'm looking at a passage of scripture here from 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've had lots of people say to me this week, "Where is that in the Bible?"
Right, right.
You must get that a lot.
Yes, yes.
Let me read this verse to you. This is Paul trying to convince the church in Corinth that he was qualified to teach and
right.
to preach, and that he had not only had seen Jesus, but that he had supernatural things had happened. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about the visions and revelations from the Lord." He says, "I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows."
Yes.
Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside of my body. But I do know that I was caught up, quote unquote, to paradise.
Yes.
And I heard things so astonishing that they cannot be expressed in words.
Yes.
Things no human is allowed to tell. I mean,
right.
When I read that to you, what goes through your mind?
Well, what goes through our mind is a few things. That's what happens when we leave this body, us that are born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We go to be where the Father and Jesus is. And the main reason for that, Dean, is because of what Jesus Christ said in John, the 14th chapter, 1 through 6. You know, can I read that?
Please. So,
I'm reading out of the New King James Version here, but I have it here before me. It says this, or Jesus says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Mm-hmm. And what I take this as, and I experienced it, Jesus is saying this: everyone on this planet will have to leave their body someday.
Yeah.
It's
irrefutable.
It's bottom line. And even the ones that came back in the Bible, Lazarus, the widow woman, Dorcas, which, you know, Peter raised from the dead, all of them still had to leave their body. And Jesus is saying this: trust me.
Yeah.
I prepared a place for you. Trust me. When that time comes in your life, because you have a relationship with me, you will go where I am. And that's what happened to me. I went where he was when this heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes.
What does Paul mean when he says, "I went to the third heaven"? Are
well,
there like 18 heavens? Or talk about that.
Some people believe there is 18 heavens.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, the first heaven is the heaven we see around this planet, the sky and everything. The second heaven is the stars and the moons and everything we see in the universe. And then the third heaven is where Jesus and the Father is.
That's good. So there are people here. This is a sensitive subject.
Yes.
Because they have friends that are in heaven.
Yes.
Some of them are sick.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid to die.
Mm-hmm.
You and I talked about the fact that my mom went to heaven on mm-hmm. January 11th. I think my dad is here this morning. This is fresh for us. I feel like I've got a little more invested in heaven than I did a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? Describe the sensation. I'll use that word. Describe the sensations when you... First of all, does it take a while to get there?
No, it doesn't take a while to get there. That's a good question. You know, most of us don't realize. The Bible says, in that same area that you're reading in Corinthians, it says this: to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Faster than you can blink, you are there. And that's quick. See, I can't say faster than the speed of light or faster than the speed of sound. I have to say what the Bible says: to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And the way I like to describe it is this way, Dean. When that eyelid goes down and touches the bottom part of your eyelid here, you're already there.
Wow. That's great. Now, there are people that are skeptical watching here, by the way. And I want to say, when I present Dean and Marilyn to you, you can go on their website. You can
yes.
buy their book. They've both written books. And you ought to test this stuff. You ought to test it. Because there are lots of people making claims.
Yes, they are.
And not all of them are accurate.
No.
And not all of them are from Jesus.
Yes.
I present Dean to you today because I've known Dean for years now, and I believe him. I believe this story. I think I've checked his doctrine. We've sat in my office for hours.
Yes.
Hours talking about Jesus in heaven, and we have mutual friends. I know his pastor, and so I present Dean to you, admitting that I believe this story. But I want you, don't be a dumb Christian and just swallow everything that's out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about...
Can I say something about that?
No.
Okay.
Talk about... Yes, say whatever you want, brother.
No, I just want to emphasize that because you're right about that. I tell people this all the time. You can have an out-of-body experience. You can separate like I did, die and go to heaven. But it must be filtered through the Word of God.
Yeah.
It must be filtered through the Word of God. I tell people this, Dean. I say, my story does not prove the Word of God. The Word of God proves my story.
This is one of the reasons that I believe... Yeah, that's right. It's one of the reasons I love the way when you and I present this, because you talk about scriptures.
Yes, I do.
You say, remember in the Word when it says X...
Mm-hmm.
Talk. Okay, so it just takes a second to get there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see
when you first get there? Well, when you see what you see in last night, like I said, you really experience it. You experience it with everything that God created you to experience something with. And most of us don't realize that when we see something, we're just not seeing it. We're experiencing it even on this planet. You know, coming here to Tacoma, when I'm entering this area, I'm experiencing it, not just seeing the thing. I'm smelling it. You know,
don't go aroma of Tacoma on me.
I haven't smelt that in years.
I know. It's been a long, long time. We've changed.
Yeah. But I'm saying you literally
you smell heaven.
You smell heaven. You hear heaven. You see heaven. You feel heaven. You know, all of the things that we literally down here in sense of gathering information to really make a good picture of something, you do the same thing there.
Talk about the smell of heaven.
Oh, remember last night, I was even talking about this last night. That is one of the hardest things to get across because we have death in our system all the time. And what I mean by that, things are dying in our trees and in our forests, even though they're beautiful places. There are literally places where trees have fallen or the leaves have fallen, and we don't realize it, but they're dying, and we're used to the smell of something dying. There's nothing dying in heaven. The closest I can come is you really taking yourself, putting it up against a flower, and smelling that aroma, almost having it right up to your nose, and that comes way short, because there is no death there, and here we filter out death. We get used to it. Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense.
So the smell there is more pure.
It's more fragrant.
More because there's nothing dying. Nothing.
Talk about the color.
The color there, just like you have the colors back here. I'm really fascinated by these paintings back here because of how much they literally show things that I experienced when I was there. But the color there, because it comes off the Father and Jesus, it is alive.
Stop. Color's alive.
Color's alive.
When you said it comes off of the Father and Jesus, what does that mean?
That means that literally color is coming out of them. And it's alive. Because nothing that comes from them is dead. Everything that comes from them is life. God does not produce death. He produces life. And so the colors are coming off, and they're the original colors. They're not a mixture of a color to make a color. A blue is a blue. A red is a red. A violet is a violet. God is not saying, I got to mix this color together to make this color. He is literally creating that color. And it's more colors than you can ever imagine. The spectrum is way out there. God is such a creative God.
Yeah.
He is not a dog God at all.
Talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, each of these interviews is going to be different.
Yes, they are.
So, I mean, if you want to come back to another service, this conversation will be totally different the next hour. And I double dare you to text or call somebody and tell them to be at one of these services today. It's so fascinating. Talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, let's start with the Holy Spirit, okay? Because that's the one that I think that most of us don't realize the power that we have on the inside of us that are born again. The day that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit enters inside of you. Jesus said he literally comes inside of you. So they're all, in the essence, one, yeah. Okay? When I got there, the Holy Spirit didn't jump out of me and say, I got to go back and get somebody else. You literally have the Holy Spirit with you for eternity. You will never not have God on the inside of you.
Wow, that's good.
Most people don't even come to that understanding that God Almighty, He that created everything, lives on the inside
even
of you.
Even when you're in heaven, you'll be full of the Holy Spirit.
You will be full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be inside of you. I tell people this a lot of times because people say to me, I want to get closer to God. And I say this to them, Dean, God is on the inside of you. How much closer can you get? We don't think that way. So that's where the Holy Spirit is. He's on the inside of you. When you get there, everyone has the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, living on the inside of them. And then there's Jesus, and he was there, okay? I tell people Jesus was 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock to the left of me. I was on my hands and knees giving him praise. You know what he was doing when I got there? He was strategizing.
What do you mean?
He was literally coming up with plans on how to move certain areas, literally on this planet and in heaven, to get more people to know him as Lord and Savior. It's not a random, like, oh, it might just happen. And you know how it's moved? He's moved by our prayers. As we pray.
Talk about that. Talk about prayers. When you see me up here ranting and raving, like, hey, I got a whisper from the Holy Spirit, and I canceled my appointments for 50 days because we're going to pray that this depression and anxiety and suicide and divorce that are wreaking havoc. And is that futility? Does that sound like futility?
It's not.
You?
Prayers have substance. When I was leaving this body, you know, when I tell you how fast it took for me to get there, to be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord, the prayers that people were praying for me and others were passing me by.
You could see them.
I could see them. They looked like shooting stars. They weren't shooting stars, but that's the best way I can describe it. And I say they look like because the streaks of light were going past me. Your prayers have substance. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, says faith is what? The substance of things hoped for.
Right.
And most people don't realize that's when you have that prayer life going. Literally, it has substance and things move out of the way.
Faster than a blink of an eye.
Faster than
How did
that.
You know they were prayers?
You just knew. You knew what they were. And some people say, how could you know? The closest I can come to scripture to say you will know things that you just know.
Yeah. And when you saw Jesus, you were on your hands and knees.
Correct.
Every knee shall bow.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
And that's literal.
That's literal. I always tell people, I already know what you're going to do when you get there. Because the Bible tells you what you're going to do. You're going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You know what else I say about that, Ding, so that you could even have a greater understanding of that? You know when I read it here that it said that Jesus Christ is the only way? There's no other way to get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. The bottom line is everybody's going to find out. Sooner or later, they're going to find out. Because that scripture says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Yeah.
It's better to find out here than there.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Your sentence there has a tone of the ominous.
Yes.
Not everybody's in heaven.
Yes.
You say that you only get to heaven through Jesus. You're aware of that when you're there.
Yes.
And
you're aware of this also, Dean. It's not a belief system. That's the way it is. You know, we think we believe this into existence. Whether I believe it or not, that's the way it is. Jesus is the only way, period.
Yeah, it's a truth. It's not a doctrine.
It's not a doctrine. It's a truth.
Talk about, were you conscious of hell?
Yeah, you are conscious of hell in the sense that you know that the only time I was really conscious of it was when I was coming in and I was going out. Okay, that's the only time. When I'm there, that is not a motive or a known thought in your head. Yeah. The reason for that is because Jesus is literally filling in any spot where someone would be missing it.
Explain.
In your own, and even in your own life, with your mother now going on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that can fill that emptiness is who? Jesus Christ. He's the one that helps you get through that time.
I love that. What is my mom? Is she meeting people?
Oh, well, when she first got there, she went to be where Jesus is. You know, she experienced what I experienced. You come to know the only one that gets you in is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. There is no other way to get in. That's not my belief system. You just know it. You just know it that you know it that you know it. And it's what he did, not what you did. He died on the cross for you. He paid the price for your sins. He looks at you like you never sinned in your entire existence. Because when he says he forgives you, he forgets it. And he doesn't bring it up. Is that good news or is that good news?
That's good news.
And you know what? Like you were saying last night, even on this planet here. Okay, number one, even on this planet here, most of us don't let it go. Jesus has let it go, so we need to let it go.
Just let go of the guilt, because a lot of people who think when they get to heaven, they're going to feel all guilty. And
you're not.
Because Jesus will know everything, and we can't hide it from him.
If you've asked him to forgive you, and it doesn't matter whether I believe that he's forgiven you or you believe it, he's forgiven you, and it is gone. He doesn't bring it up again. A lot of times people bring up old sins. It's not Jesus that they're getting it from. They're getting it from the accuser of the brethren. That's what the Bible says.
Because it never comes up.
It never comes up. He looked at me like I never sinned in my entire existence.
Wow. Did my mom, was there anybody there that she would have recognized?
Yes. On the other side of Jesus, when I got there, there was a group of people that came to greet me in, our redeemed, those that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. First group was my family. They came to greet me in. My grandmother Mary, which I'm the one that gets credit for praying me into the kingdom of God. She was standing out front. She was shiny. She had a big smile and no worries. You know what I mean?
She knew you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It might be troubling to some of these people that they're going to know their family in heaven.
Well, you know, one of the things I say, everything is right.
Talk about that.
There's no attitude. It's past peace. Okay?
Yeah, I love that. It's past peace.
It's
beyond peace.
Well, even the Bible says we can have that here on this planet. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, it says you can have peace past understanding. It's past it.
And you said last night, because there's really nothing
to be peaceful from.
To be peaceful from.
Yes.
It's just what you are.
Yes. There's no attitudes there. There's no one causing any problems. There's no bad weather there. There's no earthquakes there. There's no tornadoes there. You think there is literally there's nothing to be peaceful from. Everything is right.
And these people that your grandmother, they were conscious. You were conscious of what their contribution to you was.
Oh, yes. I came to understand, not just my grandmother came and greeted me in. Other relatives that I have known on this planet before that time that went on to be with Jesus. And then there were relatives that I never, ever came in contact on this planet. Generation after generation after generation after generation of all those that contributed to putting this DNA together on this planet that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they came to greet me in.
I love that.
You know, and before this time, you got to understand where I was standing. A lot of my boxes were blown apart. Didn't go outside the Word of God. But the boxes I had built for heaven and even God, a lot of those were blown apart, okay? Mm-hmm. But they're in the Word of God. One of the things that I had is maybe you may recognize your family when you get there. And it really doesn't matter if you did because we're all the family of God. And here I am getting there, and there's my family coming to greet me in. And I'm thinking to myself, family's important to God. You know, and a lot of times we don't understand that because we think, oh, yeah, you know, you don't know my family. You don't know my God. You
Amen.
Came out of that family. Most people don't realize that.
I love that. I have a little secret prayer that I would like to meet the people that my testimony has impacted.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever asked you this question, but when I get to heaven, when these people get to heaven, some of these people, I mean, they've been inviting friends. They've been meeting with friends at coffee shops and sharing their story. We talk a lot about sharing our story. Here.
Right, right.
And will they get to see the lives they've impacted?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. There was these groups that came to greet you in. Your family comes to greet you in. All of your friends that you ever were friends with. Even the ones in kindergarten that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you may never have known it. They come to greet you in. And those you impacted somehow with the gospel. You may not have led them to the Lord, but something you did in your life was a key for them to come to know Jesus Christ.
Were you surprised at anybody who was at heaven? Did you see my Uncle Joe?
No. I'm not saying I didn't see your Uncle Joe.
No, I'm kidding.
You know, I was surprised that my Aunt Barbara was there. And,
but this is important because there are Jesus people, and we're sort of becoming famous for this.
Yes.
How judgmental we are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you came back more humble.
Yes, yes. I came to understand only Jesus gets you in, no one else.
And nobody knows what Jesus is doing.
That's right. My Aunt Barbara, I love to tell that story because my Aunt Barbara was a person up to this moment, if I had not had this experience, would have told you that she didn't go to heaven. I would have told you that. And there she was. She was shining. She had pure joy, you know, and she was before me. And I came to understand somewhere in her life, she came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Jesus didn't have to come back and tell me. Do you understand what I'm talking
yep.
about? It didn't matter whether I knew. It only matters if he knows.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we don't realize this. We pray for people. I'm going to say this, Dean. You know, a lot of times people don't realize this. It's awful hard for a person to go to hell that you're praying for. They're going against God Almighty. He's doing everything he can to get them there. I'm not saying they don't have their free will and their own choice, but I'm saying he knows their mind, their thoughts. He knows the words. There's many people in the audience today that came here that God is giving us the words. You're asking the questions. I'm answering them. He's literally giving us the words to literally get past all those barriers that they put up.
So when it says greater is he
yes.
that is in you, is
yes.
in me, is in them, than he, the enemy that is in this world.
That's correct.
That you literally feel that
that's correct.
In heaven. I want you to look at these people. There are mm-hmm. two groups of people here, imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people are devout Jesus people.
Yes.
By the way, let me ask about religion. One last question. So many questions. Do the Baptists get preferential treatment in heaven? You don't really notice religion, do you?
No, there's none of that there.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, like I said last night, and I'll say this morning, there's sons and daughters.
Sons and daughters. So there are devout sons and daughters here. And I want you to speak to them for 60 seconds and tell them what it is that they need to know about heaven to make earth more meaningful.
One of the things you need to know about heaven to make earth more meaningful, you that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is that you never die. You live forever. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the day that you got in. You will never die. I can say to Dean here, you can get used to this face. You will see it forever. And literally we have to grab that as brothers and sisters. Because sometimes we treat each other as though we are only temporal. We're not temporal. That is not a temporal relationship you have with your brother and sister. That's an eternal relationship you will have with your brother and sister. We will know each other for eternity. So I have to say to you, that should make it more meaningful here. Because literally, you are an eternal being. And I have to say this, act like it. You will never die. You will leave this body someday, but you, the real you, will never die. It will always exist. And you that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and
yeah,
Savior.
Yeah, speak to them because we have a lot of people watching both online mm-hmm. around the world and guests that come. And we get people that come here that are Buddhists and Muslims and agnostics and atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Speak to people who may not have, we may not be in agreement mm-hmm. about what the Bible says, who Jesus is. Speak to them.
Well, this is what I could say to them. You know, when I was in Peru not too many years ago, I got to go to one of their local prisons. And they have one of the toughest systems in the world because of the drug cartel that's there. But one thing that I said to them is everyone in this prison, as tough as you are, you cannot beat death. One day you're going to have to leave your body. Where are you going to go? Because I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because I'm born again, I went to where the Father or where Jesus said we're supposed to go. Some of you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, we have the hard documentation, as Dean said. We have the medical records that said my heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. We have the doctors that came forth and said, yeah, this is what's happened. During that time, I had to go somewhere. I'm telling you, because I was an eyewitness to where I went. I went to where Jesus said we're supposed to go, us that are Christians. It is not unusual for Christians to go to heaven. That is the norm. That's what's supposed to happen to us. I didn't volunteer to come back. I would have stayed. He said to me, no, it's not your time. Go back. I get to come back now and tell you this. I'm on my way home. Don't think I'm not going back. I'm going back, okay? But the bottom line is, I get to tell you now, you that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to find out sooner or later that Jesus is the only way. I'm praying that you find out here. Because if you find out here, when you get there, he will look at you, see himself on the inside of you, and you're in. But if he doesn't, you're not in. It's that way. And you could say, I don't know if I believe you or not. Well, you may not believe I died and went to heaven. All I want to say is this. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and go. And when you get there, you'll find out.
Good.
Bow your heads, would you please? I know we're out of time. I'm going to ask the response team to come up, and there are going to be friends up here that you can pray with. And but if you're here, I don't want to leave. If you're here and you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, all over this place, I would like you to raise your hand and hold it up for 7 seconds, would you please? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The balcony. All through 8, 9, 10, 11. God, I believe you are doing something supernatural in this place. As we begin this series, as these friends go out in this city, they have no idea how influential they are. Bless them as they go in your spirit. May you make yourself alive. Bring them back, God. Give them the name of somebody that needs to hear about this story that they could invite sometime for one of these services today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Blessings, blessings.